We're going to be reading a couple scripture passages this morning. We'll be going through Isaiah, verse 14, Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, and then the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. In chapter 4. Please follow along as I begin with Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah was speaking to King Ahaz, and Isaiah said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then turning over to Isaiah 9, Isaiah says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he, God, will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the Jordan of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And then turning over to Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 4. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Christ, or the King, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he, Joseph, gave him the name Jesus. Turning over to Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and the glory of Christ our single concern. Amen. Amen. God has a way of showing up when we need him most. In the passage in Isaiah, I bet you we've heard that a lot. It's one of our favorite passages to read at this time of year. But the context from Isaiah is vastly different than just talking about the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah's time, the nation of Assyria, which was the biggest and the baddest and the most awful army in the world, they had come to take away Samaria, which was the northern kingdom of Israel. And they were coming to lay siege to Jerusalem. And the desire of Assyria was to take the people of Judea, the only remnant left of the people of God, into captivity. But God promised that he would come and rescue his people for the sake of his house, which is what a large portion of the book of Isaiah is about. And one of the promises that God made to Isaiah, or through Isaiah, to King Ahaz of the time, was that Hezekiah, the future king who would be a righteous king, Hezekiah would be born, and before Hezekiah could learn to discern good from evil, before he's eating curds, the army of Assyria would go away and not be a problem anymore. And so to let King Ahaz and the people of Judea know this, God gave the passage, the virgin or the young woman will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So in that moment, that particular moment, God heard the cry of his people who were looking at the marching hordes of Assyria and said, God, we cannot do this on our own. We need you. We can't fight these people. What would you have us do, O God? And so the Almighty One said, fear not, for I, the Lord God, am with you, God with us, Emmanuel. And he came and he met them. And as you continue to read through Isaiah, it shows how God miraculously delivered the people of Israel from the army of the Assyrians in a miraculous way. God has a way of showing up when we need him most. The passage, Matthew chapter 4, that we talked about, not necessarily a Christmas passage, but it's definitely pertinent. Jesus was living in Nazareth, and Matthew shares with us that he had started to begin his ministry a little bit. And what I did not know until Ray took us on a walk from Nazareth to Galilee was that King Herod, the second King Herod, King Herod the Great, who killed all the babies, his son, he was king in a town that was about 3 miles away from Nazareth. And so when Jesus was in Nazareth, he was basically in the backyard of King Herod. And then at about the time that Herod put John the Baptist in prison was the time that Herod moved from his palace in Nazareth area to Galilee. He had built an entirely new city in Galilee. And so when it says that John was arrested and thrown into prison, and Jesus began his ministry saying, repent for the kingdom of God is near, this is directly in the face of Herod. Herod moves his palace from Nazareth to Galilee, and Jesus follows him and goes from Nazareth to Galilee. When does Jesus do this? Right after John the Baptist goes into prison. The voice of one who is calling out in the wilderness, calling for people to repent, calling for people to turn from their wicked ways and follow after God, had been silenced by the powers of evil and darkness. And so the people of Galilee, the people of Judea at that time were wondering, is God going to come? Is God going to meet us in our time of need? And it's right at that time that Jesus basically goes to the doorstep of Herod and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. God meets us when we need him most. The Apostle Paul talks in both Galatians and Acts about how when the world was in need of a Savior, at just the right time, when things were most dark and the people of Israel were most despairing under the thumb of the Romans, at that time, when the world needed the Messiah most, at that time, God brought Jesus into the world. Born of a baby. Born the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Born in Bethlehem, just 2 miles outside of where Herod was king. When we are in need, God meets us. When we are at our lowest, when we are at our worst, God comes to us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The kingdom of God has come through Jesus, the Messiah, because he is God with us. And God comes and meets us when we are at our worst. So, brothers and sisters, this Christmas day, this day that we set aside most clearly to celebrate the coming of our Savior, this day when we transition from the season of Advent where we're longing and expectantly waiting for the coming of our King, where we now transition into rejoicing because the kingdom of God has come. This day, what are your dark spots? What are the places in your life? What are the things that you are reflecting on right now where you feel that God is absent from you? Maybe you feel like Job, where you've been calling out and God will not answer. Maybe you feel that you've been oppressed by a wrongful system of our world. Maybe you feel enslaved by debt that might not be of your choosing. Maybe you feel shameful and afraid because no matter what you do, you just cannot get over a hidden sin or a hidden temptation. Maybe you've been in the hospital for 9 weeks. Which apparently is a wonderful weight loss program, Tom. What is your dark spot today? What are the places where you feel that God just has not been there? The dark corners that either because of your own choosing you've shielded away from God, or because of life circumstances you feel are hidden away and that God just doesn't seem to shine his light in. Brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you today that the Messiah has come. God Almighty, the King, has come. He's come to be near to you. He's come to restore relationship with you. He's come to transform you and make you into the body of Christ. He's not come to be your butler. And so when God comes to meet you, it might not look like what you want or what you think. That's one of the fascinating things about the passage, the end of the book of Job. Job has this long, long argument with his best friends about the nature of God and what God does and who God is. And Job repeatedly is like, I'm calling out to you, God, and you're ignoring me. You are not listening to me. Are you impotent, God? Is that why you won't do this? Where are you? And his friends continually are saying to him, Job, if you have these horrible things happen to you, then you must have done something wrong. Just repent. It's your own stupid fault. Why can't you get over this, Job? And Job says, no. I know that I have been faithful. And I know, even though I am struggling right now, I know that God will prove himself faithful. And so I'm going to cry out to him. And Job wanted his case vindicated. He wanted to be proved right. And the amazing thing is, when we read the story, it's right there in the very first chapter. Satan came to God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "Yeah, but this wouldn't be happening if he wasn't so rich, if he wasn't so wealthy, if he didn't have so many nice kids, if he wasn't in such good health." And God said, "Go ahead, just don't kill him." And so it's right there in the story for us that God didn't do these to smite him because God is awful or mean or vindictive. It was Satan. We see that clearly. And yet, what does God say when he shows up to Job? And boy, oh boy, does he show up. God shows up in a whirlwind. So imagine this, okay? You're Job sitting there in a pile of ashes and mud, and you've got a clay pot shard scraping the boils off your skin because you are in such agony. And you're crying out to God, and your friends are repeatedly telling you that you're a horrible person. And these are your best friends, not just some Facebook friends that you know from like your cousin's best friend's sister or something like that. These are people who have been through it with you. They literally sat and wept in mourning with Job for a week before they opened their mouths. And they're telling you, "Job, you must have done something wrong." And he's holding on to say, "No, no, I believe that God will respond, and I know that I have not done anything." And God shows up in a whirlwind. Imagine that. You're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, and then out of this, God speaks. All five guys who are sitting there hear the Almighty speak. And he speaks to Job. And we want God so desperately to say, "Job, my boy, I'm so sorry I had to put you through this. It was a test. Well, I was just testing you. It's okay. None of it was your fault. I care for you, Job." We so much want God to do that, don't we? Because isn't that where we want God in our own lives? We like Christmas. I will never, ever forget, for all of the wrong reasons, in the movie Talladega Nights, which was not one of my better movie choices in my life. In the movie Talladega Nights, he's sitting there praying before dinner, and he's saying, "Thank you, baby Jesus, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, little baby Jesus." And then someone sitting next to him says, "You do realize that he grew up, don't you?" And he says, "I don't want to think about that. I like my Jesus in the miniature baby form." How many of us like our Jesus in the manger form? Because he's the little one that we, isn't he so precious? We sing to him. Isn't he so great? We have all the cute little shepherds and the sheep come and kneel down in front of him. He's not very confrontational at all. I'm going to fight him. And yet, brothers and sisters, and we're going to look at this next week, and yet the whole point of the story of Jesus' birth is to say, there's already a king of Israel. There's a king of Israel. There's a king over the king of Israel. And his name is Caesar Augustus. And guess what he says about himself? "I'm the king of the world, the son of God, the savior of all." Just the fact that Jesus was born is confrontational. You now have to choose. Are you going to follow this little baby who was born in a stinky sheep stall? Or are you going to follow Herod, who is the richest man in the world? Or Caesar Augustus, who had brought peace, the golden era, the golden Roman peace, to the world, to the entire known world? But this king that we choose to follow, who was born in the manger, is not like the other kings of this world. When God comes to Job in the whirlwind, what does he do? He tells Job about himself. It's in a very harsh form of rebuke, but he's revealing himself to Job. He says, "Where were you when the mountain goats gave birth? Do you know how to make the heavenly storehouses bring forth snow? Do you provide food for the monsters of the deep?" God met Job in his lowest moment and revealed himself to him more intimately, more clearly. When this interaction between Job and God is done, Job says, "I had heard of you, but now I know you." Brothers and sisters, isn't this what God does in our lives? Isn't this what the birth of God as a human baby is all about? The Messiah, the King, the Almighty God, come to earth for what purpose? In order that we, human beings, might be adopted into the family of God. Amen. This is why God Almighty was born as a baby. This is why we are gathered here today, because the Almighty God meets us when we are at our lowest, when we need God the most. God is there. God has suffered already for us. God is with us now in his spirit. He's dwelling inside of us. And so he knows our despair. He knows our pain and our hurt. He knows the things that we are going through. In God, Father, Son, and Spirit, in the most patient, in the most gentle, in the most loving way possible, God reveals himself to us through his word, through his body, through his church. God reveals himself to us so that we might find hope, so that we might find peace, so that we might find joy, so that we might find love. All of these things that pass the understanding of this world. And then God asks that we pass that on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good to us. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have come, that you are the light of the world, that you have come into our darkness to meet us, to shape us, to mold us, to save us. To invite us to be the children of God. Lord, today, let us feel your presence in our hearts. Let us feel your presence here among us. Let us feel your presence among your church, your body. Lord, as we partake of the meal that you gave to us, let us feel your presence in these elements, the bread and the wine. Lord, we thank you that you have given us ways to connect with you, because we are weak and prone to wander. Lord, we ask that we would bless your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the elders will come forward, we'll begin our service of communion.